Audrey Anderson joins us now from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. Audrey, enjoying the rain, I assume. Are you in the western suburbs today?
I am, yes.
Is it still raining out there?
It is, yes.
Yeah, it's not so bad, though, right? We need the rain.
No, it's not so bad. When you were saying about Phyllis, it was making me smile. I love her cartoons.
Oh, I was talking about Phyllis from The Office.
Oh.
Is there Phyllis cartoons that talks about rain as well?
Well, it's just the older lady. I thought her name was Phyllis, where she is kind of sarcastic about different bad things that happen to people.
Oh, okay. That works too, I think. Different things. It still worked out. Audrey Anderson's from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. Audrey, I don't know if you saw the story of what happened out in New York yesterday where a YouTuber was going to give something away and an influencer, whatever that means, in New York City's Union Square Park, and thousands of young people descended there, and it got a little chaotic, right? It was a lot of people together. Then all of a sudden, officers were trying to respond. They were hit with rocks and bottles. Dozens of attendees were injured. I don't think I saw any deaths, thank goodness, or any very serious injuries, it seems. But there were numerous arrests and acts of violence. And it reminded me of some of the things we've seen in Chicago, Audrey. And, you know, we're really at this crossroads where we have to really tiptoe around this issue because police are really in a bind when it comes to responding to these. And we have a mayor who, he's not sticking up for these people, but he definitely uses language that doesn't want to cast wide assumptions about people, young people that are gathered. And I feel like this has kind of come to a little boiling point here in our city, Audrey.
I agree. I had read and seen about the incident in New York. I thought it was interesting because my daughter and I had been there in January and then my sister and I in December. So it's easy for a lot of people to congregate in parks like in New York or in Chicago, what just happened, I believe, last weekend. Mm-hmm. It is interesting, the Chicago mayor's response and the disappointment, I suppose, by some CPD officers for his support or his comments. And it is a very difficult situation of what to do and where to draw the line and who should be charged and how young is too young.
Right.
I saw in the New York one, I think the youngest was 12, the oldest was 20. So there's a lot of issues going on there, too.
The oldest person charged was 20. Wow. Okay. So this is a young person's event, and a lot of them under the age of 18. When you talk to people, I imagine what makes these situations so difficult. Number one, they pop up quickly. And I know that sometimes social media can give officers a heads up, and I know they're looking and trying to find those events. But a lot of times social media moves quick. It's not just like someone sets up a Facebook event and that's easy to find. These things can come up on Snapchat, on TikTok, on apps that are a little harder to navigate. And then it becomes what, Audrey? Like, okay, a bunch of people are gathered. When they're gathering, you can't immediately start arresting people, right?
Right, no, because it's not necessarily unlawful. I suppose it could be argued unlawful for people to gather, but that's the point of being outside in parks or on streets. People are permitted to go there, to hang out, to talk, as long as they're not disturbing people or creating chaos, causing damage, injuring things. So I think that with the one incident that happened by the 7-Eleven, I think the owner initially said it was fine until more people came, and then it was just a few people that got out of control that escalated the situation.
Yeah, because we really are, I mean, it seems crazy to think, but it is. It is your first right, amendment right to gather, right? It's your right to protest, but you can also gather in groups, right?
Right. There's nothing illegal with being outside on a nice day, hanging out with friends or family. You're absolutely right. So where do you draw the line? I mean, officers shouldn't be permitted to just go up to people and say, don't hang out here by this stop sign or the street bench. That doesn't seem right to give them that authority either. But then when do you draw the line? Is 50 people okay, but 55 too much? Or where do you draw the line?
Right. And then when it gets to be a big event, that's when, you know, young people especially start doing dumb things, right? They get egged on by each other. It starts to grow. And that's when serious things can happen. People get hurt. People can get killed. We've seen that in Chicago. And police officers are often, they just don't have many options because when things start to escalate, they don't want to escalate back too quickly, right? I imagine that there's not enough manpower to simply round up a bunch of people when you're in a chaotic situation.
Right. It's really hard for officers because most of these events are kids. So 20 to 18 year olds are typically. And then, of course, police officers are usually minimum 22 to up in their 50s. So officers, they don't necessarily want to get hands on with 12, 13, 14 year olds and boys, girls. They don't have enough manpower or officer power to go to be there to disperse everybody. And then they're concerned, what will their police department say? Will the mayor and other people in politics support them for trying to disperse to protect one store? So if an officer gets hands-on with a few people and there's injuries, is the officer justified because they're saving some businesses? Mm-hmm. Or are kids, their bodily safety, and if they get injured in the fray of the debacle or just hanging out, is that more important? So it's a very difficult debate of whose rights are more important.
Right. We're talking with Audrey Anderson, who spent time in the state's attorney's office on the prosecutorial side and now is on the defense side, who you got a wide range of knowledge on this. Have you ever had to defend juveniles who are kind of caught up in these group actions? Is that any cases like that you've ever had to work before?
A few, yes. But it's a lot of times officers don't initially charge right away, or they do charge, but then prosecutors sometimes decline charges. Or a lot of times officers may arrest them, bring them all down to the police department, and then supervisors say, no, we're just letting them go. We'll just give them a municipal violation or citation, as opposed to actually bringing them to criminal court before a judge. So a few, but it's difficult because parents don't necessarily always see what the big deal is because their kids are just hanging out with other kids at a park or just outside. So it's difficult if they really even want to hire an attorney to defend their child for this.
Is it hard to prosecute in, let's say crimes are committed and they're clear, is it a hard case to prosecute because there's so many people, it's a chaotic thing, witnesses might be hard to find? Like, is that a reason why sometimes charges get dropped, is prosecutors don't think they're going to be able to convince people that for sure, beyond a reasonable doubt, that the people that are in front of them are the people that committed the crimes?
Right. So a lot of times officers can't identify the specific person. So I know that, you know, several years ago there were stores that were broken into, and some stores have excellent security footage and people from the store that's able to slow down, enhance, so you can specifically see a particular feature in a person so that you were able to identify them maybe later. But the problem is trying to track down these individuals and see what specific individual did what specific thing, if they were just among the crowd or if they're the ones that really did something or just happened to be standing there next to someone. Identifying them is really the problem.
312-981-7200 if you got any thoughts or questions. What do you think about the careful words that the mayor decides to use? And he's done this even before he took office, when there was the big event in Millennium Park and people were asking for comment. And, you know, he doesn't, I want to clearly point out, he does not defend the actions of lawlessness. He's made that very clear. But he does go out of his way to ensure that not all young people are demonized, or not all young people that are even at these events are demonized. And he doesn't particularly like the term mob action. What's your reaction to that?
I did find that interesting how he doesn't like them being referred to as a mob because they're not little Al Capones. But I don't think that's the way people were referring to them, as little mob Capones, but rather a mob is where numerous individuals are gathered together out of control. So it is definitely interesting because he seems to be somewhat defending youth in general, which is great because you shouldn't lump all juveniles together when just a handful of them are the ones doing the bad acts. But it is a very fine tightrope that he has to balance between all of his constituents and law enforcement, who believe that he's not going to be tough enough or strict enough on juveniles.
A lot of people, after all these things happen, they say, where are the parents? What about the parents? And, I mean, there's some fair points to be made about that. I think a lot of listeners will say, I know where my kids are at all times. Others will admit, well, maybe not so sure when they get a little older and they're able to drive around, or, you know, you don't know where they are 24/7. But the point that a lot of people make is, why don't they track down where these kids live, go talk to the parents, and if any crimes were committed or if any acts were committed, arrest the parents? Is that even a thing?
No, unfortunately, there really isn't anything to arrest the parent for unless the parent is the one encouraging their child to commit a crime. There is no other crime, really, that a parent can be charged with. The parent could be financially and are financially responsible to pay for any damages or restitution. But really, there really is no crime for a parent. And it's hard, like a 15, 16-year-old, you're at your friend's house or at the library. How would a parent know truly unless they're tracking them 24/7 on their app and monitoring them and running after them if they're not there? What can a parent really do? You have to have some faith in your child and not completely hover over them.
Right.
24/7.
And also, so there, just to be clear, there's no law against not knowing where your kid is, or there's no law against your kid goes somewhere and does something bad.
Correct, depending on the age of your child, right. If they're an older teenager, correct.
Oh, is there? Oh, so there is like a dividing line there.
Well, I suppose if your child, if you're unaware of where your child is, then DCFS could be involved and start a DCFS, a Department of Children and Family Services investigation. But there really is no crime that a parent could be charged with, a general crime that a parent could be charged with for not knowing necessarily where their child is if they're an older teenager.
So the reality, and then let's just talk about the reality. When you get 150, 200, 300, 400 young people in one spot, you aren't going to take each person to their parent. I mean, like, there is no police force in the country that can arrest all those kids, try and figure or detain them or take them back home and then question their parents. It's just not a thing to ask. It's impossible.
Right. Feasibly, it's not feasible at all. There's not enough manpower, holding power, like at the police station, because you can't have the juvenile at a police station where they're detained next to adults. So you have to keep them all separate from all the adults. Well, most police departments can't accommodate that. And then how do you bring each and every single one of these kids back to their parents in squad cars? You kind of group them by, oh, these five kids live in this subdivision, so we'll drive them there, and then this squad takes another. Just logistically, it's not feasible whatsoever.
Right. 773 says, mobs have many heads but few brains. And I think I get the quote there is that, and this happens, and is that you get a lot of people together, one person does one thing, and then it quickly escalates and goes out of control. And there's a certain anonymity, I imagine, someone feels when they are part of a group where things are happening that are bad, right?
Right, absolutely. And the problem is kids are very easily influenced by others, and they don't necessarily think through the consequences of their action. And so a lot of parents feel that they've raised their children properly and that their child won't do anything stupid, like throw an egg, throw a brick, throw something, block traffic. They just presume that they've taught their child right. But in the heat of the moment, with other kids or friends around, your child might do something dumb without thinking about it. So it's hard to control that.
As someone who spent a lot of time in the legal world, it's your career, Audrey, on both sides of this. Do you have any ideas that no one's thought of? Like, on how to prevent these mass gatherings from happening? Is it police work on the front end? And I mean, maybe I'm giving you too hard of a task to say something that no one's ever thought of, but do you have any insight into what could maybe work a little more effectively?
No, it's really difficult. I've read a lot of articles, spoken with a lot of individual parents as well as law enforcement. And there's just, it's so such a complicated question. And I think maybe, as the Chicago mayor suggests, to have more programs for students after school and at night. But then if you're organizing it through the city or the police department or school, are kids going to actually want to think that it's fun to go to school at night or on the weekend to hang out to do something or some police department-sponsored events or a city event to try to encourage kids to do that so it's more productive use of their time?
Anything else we should be thinking about with this issue, Audrey, that I haven't covered yet today?
No, it's just such a complex issue.
I know. Yeah, and luckily you and I get to talk about brighter things and more topics that are not just about mob action or large gathering action, but it certainly was on everyone's mind today after what they saw in New York, and maybe a little thankful that it didn't happen here in Chicago. Audrey Anderson, who should be reaching out to you for your guidance, your help, your expertise?
Any parents or any adults that are being investigated by DCFS, or if law enforcement has come to talk with you or to talk with you and your child, don't let your child talk to the police without an attorney first. Always talk to an attorney first. It does not make you or your child look guilty.
Right. And you can say, I want my attorney at any moment, right? It's always good to remind people of that.
Correct. Right. Because police officers aren't going to remind you throughout the conversation that your child or you have the right to remain silent. They're just going to try to minimize to keep you talking,
for sure.
Which is their job, and they do it well.
Yes, for sure. 630-877-5800 is how you can reach Audrey, AndersonAA.com. Audrey, thanks for giving us some time on a Saturday.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Always great talking with you. Thank you for asking.